This week, we will speak with Bill Press from The Bill Press Show about the importance of the upcoming midterm elections. Then we will discuss the current state of federal funding and its impact on services with Catherine McFate, the president and CEO of the Center for Effective Government. And finally, we'll speak with AFGE's national president, J. David Cox, about President Obama's 2015 budget proposal. But first, we'll talk tax reform with Frank Clemente, executive director of Americans for Tax Fairness. Frank, welcome to Inside Government.
Good morning.
So tell us a little bit about Americans for Tax Fairness. What does the organization do?
Well, we're a coalition of over 400 organizations from around the country, and we're working to create a fair tax system. We believe that corporations and wealthy individuals are not paying their fair share of taxes and that they need to, both because that's the fair thing to do and because the government needs those resources in order to make investments to create jobs.
And when did it get started?
Just 2 years ago. We began around the Bush tax cut fight. Probably your listeners will remember that as a major issue in 2012. The Bush tax cuts, which had been passed 10 years earlier, they were expiring. We were trying to get them cut back so that the wealthy would have to pay a greater share of taxes.
And who are some of the members of the organization?
It's a wide range of organizations, everybody from the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights to National Council of La Raza, to major unions, to major think tanks, to grassroots groups around the country and about in all 50 states.
And I know with your initials, and of course in government we use initials for everything, is ATF. Of course, some of us think of that as alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Clearly that's not you guys. But have you done any work where you've done any surveys about how American voters feel about the budget?
We've done four major polls by Hart Research Associates, which is a major polling firm. They actually do the NBC Wall Street News Journal poll. And we've had very consistent findings for those four major polls. The public, by about 2-1, thinks corporations ought to be paying more in taxes. They think that wealthy folks ought to be paying more in taxes. And they're particularly irked by corporations that are allowed to ship profits and jobs offshore, where they avoid paying U.S. taxes and where U.S. jobs end up going. They think it's very harmful for the economy.
And when you talk about that, and of course President Obama talked about that too, both in his first and his second campaign, how does that work, that they ship profits overseas?
So it's, you know, the we're in an electronic world where but at the stroke of a keystroke, money can transfer from one place to another. Here's the example that was revealed last year by Apple Corporation, one of an American icon. Apple obviously operates 95% of its operation is here in the United States. Most of its research and development, all the creativity that develops its products comes from the United States. But what it does is it sets up corporations, subsidiaries in other countries. And in Apple's case, it set up several companies in Ireland where they negotiated a tax rate that either was zero or it was about 1%. And so what they ended up doing was making it look like a lot of their sales were being generated through Ireland and that its expenses were being generated through Ireland. So that's where the profits were being accumulated, and therefore it was paying little or no tax. It actually avoided tax completely on $30 billion. It said that that money didn't exist under Irish jurisdiction, nor did it exist under U.S. jurisdiction. That was extremely clever. Probably there's some other companies that are following that right now. But in other cases, it just was using this tax haven to make it look like its profits were being generated through that tax haven when they were really coming from what was happening in America and elsewhere.
And how would you close a loophole like that?
Well, the simplest way is of course, the hardest way. What you would do is it's called you would end deferral. Right now, any U.S. company that makes profits offshore, as long as it doesn't bring those profits back to America, it doesn't have to pay taxes on those profits. That's why you've probably heard that we have $2 trillion U.S. corporations have $2 trillion sitting offshore in profits, much of it in tax havens. We could end that that situation relatively quickly if we basically said any profits you're generating offshore, you have to pay taxes on them whether you have brought them back to the United States or not. And then they would have to start paying taxes on that money, and then they would bring that money back home. We would, of course, deduct the taxes that they're paying in the foreign country because we don't want the U.S. company to be double taxed on its profits. But in many cases, the foreign country is taxing them at 0 or 1 or 2 or 3%, whereas their tax here in the United States is 35%. So we want to make up that difference.
And clearly for federal employees who for a number of years got no increase in pay at all, no cost of living adjustment, this would be a major concern. When we talk about the budget deficit, obviously this is a major concern. And when you look at the budgets, there's always a need or a desire by some in terms of balancing the budget to look for cost savings. This plan sounds like a brilliant way to bring in some money. Is it in President Obama's 2015 budget?
Well, the president does do some loophole closing. He doesn't completely end what we call deferral and make companies start paying taxes on those offshore profits right away. He closes some loopholes. He would raise about $300 billion over 10 years. If you end a deferral, you could raise double that amount, about $600 billion over 10 years. What people don't understand is there's a lot of talk about corporate tax reform, and when you really get down to it, the only place, the most likely place that you're going to raise that money is by taxing these offshore profits. There's other big corporate tax loopholes that are going to be very hard to get rid of because they help domestic companies, they help domestic manufacturers. A lot of members of Congress feel like they are important to help create jobs here. Nobody feels that those tax breaks that companies are getting to ship jobs offshore and have their profits offshore are benefiting jobs here in America. And so they want to fix that. And it's the biggest pot of money, really, that's available to us to make corporations start to pay their fair share of taxes. Your listeners probably don't realize, about 50 years ago, about a third of the federal budget was being paid for by through corporate taxes. Now it's down to about 10%. So one out of $10 now, whereas it used to be more than three out of $10. Unless we get those corporate dollars up, unless we start to raise more money from corporations and make them pay their fair share, the government is not going to have the kind of resources it needs in order to do the kinds of investments it needs, rebuilding roads and bridges, making our education system better, researching new medical cures, things like just making the government run better.
I mean, when I think back, you talk about 50 years, and I think about the tax rates under President Eisenhower, not usually considered a wild-eyed leftist. They were certainly far higher than what we're dealing with now. Yet I've even heard people like former President Bill Clinton talking about lowering corporate tax rates. What's a fair tax rate?
Well, I think it gets into pretty complicated areas. I mean, what they like to do is compare what's the U.S. corporate tax rate against the tax rate in other countries. And you can't just compare tax rates because our tax rate is 35%. A lot of other countries, it's about 25%. That's by in the law. However, when you take all the discounts for all the tax breaks and all the deductions, we actually have basically a matched tax rate right now. We're at about 25%, and most of our economic competitors are at about 25% as well. An interesting study was just done by Citizens for Tax Justice, which looked at how much are corporations paying in taxes. And they looked at the multinational companies. So those are the companies that are competing offshore with other companies, which is the competition argument that's always made. What they found is that in most of those companies, the U.S. company is actually paying more to foreign governments in taxes than it's paying to the U.S. government in taxes. Okay, I want to repeat that. The U.S. company is paying more to foreign governments in taxes than to U.S. governments. Yet we hear all of this that the U.S. has to lower its corporate tax rate in order to make it competitive. This is the first empirical data that showed that's not true.
And how much tax abuse are we really talking about here? I mean, okay, Apple does it. Are there a few outliers, or, I mean, is this common amongst large corporations?
No, it's I would call it rampant among corporations. And it's legal, right? I mean, they're largely taking advantage of the loopholes that have been created by Congress. I mean, we had a big reform back in 1986 where a lot of the loopholes were closed. And then, of course, all the lobbyists swarmed in and a lot of the loopholes got recreated. We're talking, you know, it's $100 billion a year in lost tax revenue through these kinds of loopholes. It's extremely important chunk of change that could be used to help whether you want your preferences to reduce the deficit or to make new investments. And the thing that holds us back is the power of the lobby. I mean, we have a report that'll be out relatively soon. There's about 4,500 lobbyists here in Washington, D.C. that are working for corporations to keep these loopholes in existence. That's 4,500. I know most of the people who lobby on our side of the ledger, and it's maybe 100 lobbyists on our side that are trying to get rid of these corporate loopholes. So there's a big, you know, it's a pretty tough system to crack here.
And how long have these loopholes been in existence?
Well, some of them, you know, 2 or 3 years, some of them 10, 20, 30, 40 years. We're working on one right now. It just expired. It's called the active financing exception. It's a very technical term. Basically, what it allows is Wall Street banks, insurance companies, and GE Capital to basically move their profits offshore. And you can do that very easily in the banking system, of course. And they don't have to pay taxes on that money until they bring it back home. That used to be prohibited by law back in 1986 when we had tax reform. The lobbyists got it back in, that exception back in, that loophole back in 1997. So it's been there now since 1997. There's a whole big lobbying campaign built around just protecting this, we call it the GE tax loophole. It's what allows General Electric to dramatically reduce its taxes. General Electric, one of the biggest companies in America, made $27 billion in profits over the last 5 years. Guess how much they paid in taxes over that 5 years?
I keep hearing zero.
No, they got $3 billion in tax refunds. so they paid less than zero. They got $3 billion overall in tax refunds. And what that means, I just want your listeners to understand, that means that any one of your listeners who paid something in federal taxes, any one of the last 5 years, paid more than General Electric paid over the last 5 years to the federal government in taxes.
And as we come down to our last minute, can you talk about the Bush tax cuts and the extensions of those? Is that coming up, and is that something you all are working on?
Yeah, well, it's not the Bush tax cut issue. It's actually called tax extenders. And these are tax breaks that expire every year or two. And you, if you add them up over 10 years, they're worth about half a trillion dollars, $500 billion. So it's a lot of money. There's about 60 of these tax breaks. Most of them benefit business interests. I want to repeat, they have expired, and Congress now has to decide whether to renew them. Typically, Congress quietly rubber stamps them, approves them, and doesn't pay for them. What we're saying right now is, hey, you're making you've denied unemployment insurance benefits to people unless they're paid for. You're cutting food stamps in order to reduce deficit. We just went through a whole debate over the budget sequester and giving a little bit more of spending, and that had to be paid for by cutting other spending. Well, it's time that these corporate tax breaks be paid for, too.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. I'm your host, Ward Morrow, and up next, we'll discuss the Affordable Care Act, the impact of sequestration, and the importance of the upcoming midterm elections with the host of the Bill Press Show, Bill Press.